Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
The Second Union Missionary Baptist Church with Reverend Joseph Martin Jr. as pastor is inviting you to a choir music workshop June 7th through the 10th, featuring Elder Ernest Bowman Jr., the minister of music at the New Hope Baptist Church and the Second Baptist Church. He's also the advisor and director of the Southern University Gospel Choir in Baton Rouge. Registration for this workshop is $20, and you must register by May 26th. The Second Union Missionary Baptist Church is another proud sponsor of KAYT, KQJOFM.
To the Ephesians that we heard on the Sunday school lesson this morning. Praise God, he wrote this letter, and unlike the church of Ephesus, who you learned from this morning, those who were on Bible study, that church did everything good. So all Paul had to do was talk to them about the doctrinal issues and then went on to tell them about how they need to live. Yeah. Praise God, because if you read verses 1 through 3, he talks about doctrine. And then when he gets to chapter 4 all the way through chapter 6, he addresses what I call the behavior or the walk of the believer. Yeah. And he culminates it with the fact that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Oh yeah, that's what he did. Praise God. But to this church, he had to write to this church because there was a reason to write. Amen. You see, he wrote this letter to combat. He wrote this letter to refute, praise God, some extremely dangerous and threatening heresies. Praise God. I'm talking about some false teaching that was raising its ugly head in the church at Colossae. These heretics that were known as Gnostics, they attacked our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at every point. I'm not going to go into depth of what they did, but praise God, they were false teachers, and they attacked Jesus' supremacy. They attacked his deity. They attacked, praise God, his messiahship. They attacked his incarnation, saying, praise God, that God would never take on human flesh upon himself, because human flesh, according to the Gnostics, was something that was evil. Oh, I'm going somewhere, y'all. You see, they taught that Jesus only seemed to have a body. In other words, they were saying that Jesus came to earth only as a pure spiritual being, but we know better than that. Praise God. We know because of the Word of God. We know because of the Bible that he came to this earth as a full-grown man. Amen. Now, you know he was born just like any other baby. Praise God. I didn't mean that he come out grown. Praise God. He came out as a child, walked, grew up. Praise God. And we know that he became, after 33 years on this earth, actually stayed 33 and a half years, he became a grown man. And we know that he was a man. How do I know that he was a man? Because the word say he ate like a man. Praise God. They say he thirsted like a man. Praise God. He bled like a man. Praise God. He wept like a man. Praise God. But not only that, he died just like a man. Yeah. You see, and as a result of their false teaching, some believers in the Colossian church began to stress soul over body. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, you do have a soul, but you also have a body. Praise God. You see, and since the soul was important to the Gnostics, praise God, the body didn't matter to them. Oh, yeah, go ahead, teach on, Pastor Martin. I'm going to get where I'm going. You see, in other words, one can do what he or she wishes with his or her body just so as he or she takes care of his or her body, his or her soul, by participating, praise God, in religious activities. Therefore, let me get you here, loose living became acceptable. It's almost as though the Gnostics are alive and well today. When we see some of what I call loose living, praise God. But that's not the point of my message, praise God. You see, God called us as believers to be witnesses to this world. We live in this world. We make our living in this world. We associate with people that's in this world. Therefore, we should give a responsible witness, praise God, of our faith to this world. Amen. And our faith should be guided by the principles of our lives. You see, through our very lives, we are what I call SFS. FSFS. We are salespeople, praise God, for salvation. That's what we are, praise God. Every time we go somewhere, every time we are on display, we are selling something. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody here this morning. We are salespersons for salvation. So as we look at our text, Paul gives us some important insights as to what it means or what is involved to being a witness to this world. Praise God. Let me just share three of them with you. We're going to go home. Amen. Very first thing we find that our witness to this world involves our prayer life and our time in the world. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. You must have a prayer life. Amen. You see, the first duty of the believer is to pray and continue in prayer. Now, I know that somebody out there saying, "Now, high pastor, high in the world, you expect me to continue to pray with my busy schedule." I don't know who was asking that question, but I'm glad you asked. Praise God. But you see, we must develop what I call an attitude of prayer. We must walk in the spirit of prayer. We must take a mental break from our work and spend a moment in prayer. Praise God. You see, prayer does not have to be long. Praise God. It's okay when you pray a long time, but it doesn't have to be long. Praise God. Can I tell you a short prayer? When Jesus bid Peter to come on the water, and as long as Peter had his eyes on Christ, he was, the Bible tells me, he was walking on top of the water. But when the waves start bursting, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. He said a short prayer. Lord, help me. Praise God. So your prayer don't have to be long to be effective. Amen. You see, your prayer, we have to develop an attitude of prayer. We have to learn that when we get up in the morning, praise God, we ought to thank God for watching over us as we slumming and slept. How many of y'all have an idea how many airplanes fly over your house at night? Praise God. How many of y'all even have an idea, praise God, so that when you go to bed at night, praise God, you ought to pray. Say, Lord, praise God, watch over me. Praise God, watch over my house. Praise God, while I'm sleeping. You don't know what may go on with one of them aircraft up there, but guess what? When you get into the habit and get into the attitude of prayer, when you get up in the morning, you're going to thank God for the things that he did. And when you get ready to get in that bed at night, you're going to say, Lord, you protected me throughout the day. You looked over me, praise God, while I was riding up the dangerous highway. So I want to give you some thanks before I lay down, praise God. And even throughout the day, praise God, you want to be praying. Amen. I tell people oftentimes when they see me walking around this building in the daytime, Deacon Robinson is snuck up on me a couple of times. Several other people have saw me walking around this building. When I, on my way home, and I stop, I walk around this building, I'm praying. Praise God. Then I'll come inside, and sometime I'll pray, praise God, because I know how the enemy works. Praise God. And I know that prayer is an effective weapon. Praise God. So we must pray all the time, and that's Bible. Praise God. Matthew's records the words of Jesus at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, when he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. He says, seek and ye shall find. He said, knock and the door shall be open. You see all of that seeking and all of that asking and all of that knocking. I ain't talking about nothing but prayer. Praise God. So we must have a prayer life. And if this prayer life, praise God, Paul writes at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, he said, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, Paul knew the importance of prayer, and I'll say again, praise God, to be an effective witness, we must pray. Especially when we look at what Paul asks of the Colossian church. Amen. You see, Paul did not ask to be released from jail. Y'all know he was locked up, right? He didn't ask to be released from jail. He didn't ask, praise God, for a not guilty verdict. Amen. He didn't ask that his life end in peace. You want to know what Paul was praying and asking while he was locked up in that jail? Praise God. Verse 3 and 4 gives you the clue. Look what he said. First of all, he was asking for another opportunity to witness. Look what verse 3 says. He says, praise God, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of God. In other words, he said, I'm not worried about my own condition, but I want to have another opportunity, praise God, to witness unto you. I don't care if you allow me to witness to one of those jailers. I don't care if you allow me to witness to one of those Roman soldiers, but give me the opportunity, praise God, just to witness. That was one thing. But then again, he asked for boldness in his witnessing. If you look at verse number 4, he says, that I may make it, that it means his witnessing, manifest, praise God, as I ought to speak. In other words, he knew, praise God, that prayer is important. He wanted to have that boldness to speak. Praise God. A lot of us sometimes want to say something for God, but we don't have that spiritual intestinal fortitude. It's better known as backbone. Praise God. We need to ask God to give us the backbone, praise God, so that when we walk up to somebody who may look mean to us, praise God, we could tell them that for God you shall live, and it's for God that you shall die. Praise God, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So prayer is important. But praise God, you see, we too should use our time in this world and use it well. So prayer is important. But praise God, you see, we too should use our time in this world and use it well. Yeah, look what verse 5 says. Verse 5 puts a phrase in there about redeeming the time. The word redeem means to buy up the time. In other words, we seek to grasp every moment to live for Jesus Christ before this lost world.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We ought to take every moment that we have to live before this world, to show this world that there are in fact somebody, praise God, who is trying to live a God-fearing life. Amen. In other words, we seek to grasp every moment to live for Jesus Christ. Again, before this world, we are always looking for opportunities to do good and to let our light so shine before men.
Yes, sir.
John writes at 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he says, he that says he abides in him ought, praise God, himself also what? Walk even as he walks.
Yes.
In other words, praise God, if we say that we belong to him, praise God, then we ought to walk as he walked.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask somebody a question here.
Yes, sir.
Has any one of y'all ever seen Jesus walk gossiping about somebody else? I hope this is not the devil. I rebuke you.
Yes.
Praise God. Don't hit this microphone. Have any one of y'all ever seen Jesus Christ, praise God, get out there and talk about somebody behind their back?
Yes,
it's not recorded nowhere in the book. Praise God. So that tells us that we ought to be walking just like he walked. We ought to talk just like he talked. Praise God. So we must do everything that we can. I'm talking about redeeming the time, using the time that we have wisely, praise God, to let our lights so shine before men that they may see our good works and yet glorify our Father which is in heaven.
Yeah.
But the second thing, praise God, that we do as witnesses to this world involve our walk in this world. You see, we should walk with wisdom in our witness. Look what verse number 5 says. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. You see, that phrase, them that are without, refers to the unbelievers of this world. I'm talking about those who are walking through life without Jesus Christ in their lives. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about those who are without hope beyond this life. I'm talking about those who are without assurance of life hereafter with God. I'm talking about those who are without peace in their lives. I'm talking about those who are without security. I'm talking about eternal security in their life.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those who are without help in facing the trials and tribulations of this life. Don't you know, praise God, when you are going through some things? Let me see the hands of those who have gone through some things.
Yeah.
Praise God, when you are going through some things, it's good to have somebody, praise God, to go through those trials and tribulation. But when somebody is without Christ, They don't have that opportunity. Praise God. I'm talking about those, praise God, without fellowship with God and his family of believers. Praise God. A lot of folks then found that it's not too cool to go to church. But let me tell you something. I would not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Yeah. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm trying to keep it for real. I watched the football game last night. Y'all probably watched the same football game. And when that guy caught that pass, went around that corner and made that 2 points, praise God, I saw looked like a whole city, looked like a whole nation converged on that field. It would be great, praise God. Praise God, when a sinner gives his life to Jesus Christ, praise God, that folk from all over would come and start giving God some praise for all the things that he's done. It would be good, praise God, when God heals someone from cancer, heals someone from sugar diabetes, heals someone, praise God, of arthritis. Praise God, that the church would explode just like we saw those folks explode out there on that field. Praise God. So I'm talking about those who are without God and without a family of believers, those who are without forgiveness of sin. Finally, those who are without freedom from darkness of death and the grave. You see, it is important that we walk worthy of our calling. It's, the scripture paints a sharp contrast between unbelievers who are without Christ and believers who are within Christ. You see, the reason why we ought to be shaken this morning, the reason why we ought to be praising God this morning, the reason why we ought to be clapping our hands this morning, because there was a time when we were without. How many of y'all can remember the time when you were without? Praise God. And just in case you don't realize that that was a time when you were without, praise God, Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Listen at the words that he talked, because if the last time I check, I believe that all of us are Gentiles in here. Amen. So that was a time when we were without. Amen. Look at the words that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He says that at that time we were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promises, having no hope, without God in the world. But look at that spiritual coordinating conjunction. He said, but now. How many of y'all could say, but now? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime afar off are made nigh. And you were made nigh, meaning that you were made near, praise God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, believers are to walk in wisdom towards those who are without Christ. I'm talking about redeeming and making the best use of that time. You see, when we walk wisely, it means, praise God, that we walk thoughtfully. I'm talking about figuring out how to live for Christ beyond this world. I'm talking about when we walk with wisdom, we walk righteously and we walk godly. When I'm talking about walk in wisdom before this world, praise God, we'll walk guarding every step that we take. We walk guarding every word that we say. We are going to be careful of how we say things. We are going to be careful of where we go. We're certainly going to be careful of how we act towards folk. Praise God, because the Bible tells us to shun the very appearance of evil. Praise God. In other words, they when we talk about those who are within Christ, they are those who walk doing good works. Let me see the hands of those out there who are walking doing some good works. Praise God. I ought to see every hand in here go up. Praise God. You see, as we as believers just cannot walk any kind of way in this world, because if we do, let me tell you what it does. It hurts our witness. There are some places that I would love to go, but I just can't go there because it's going to hurt my witness. Not that I'm going to go there and do something wrong, but there are some places that I just cannot go. Praise God, because it's going to hurt my witness. Somebody see me coming out, I can go to the casino. Praise God, just to eat a meal. Praise God, somebody see me coming out of there, they're not going to say, well, I saw Pastor Martin coming out of the casino because he just got through eating. Even if they see my stomach just as full from all of the food, the first thing they're going to say is, I saw Pastor Martin coming out of the casino. Because I know that, because the devil is alive and he is well. And he'll do everything that he can within his power to bring down the witness of a child of God. You see, praise God, so we must, praise God, be about our Father's business. We have to ensure that our walk is consistency, is consistent with our talk. If I say, praise God, that I belong to Christ, I got to walk like Christ walked. I don't know if he takes long strides, but praise God, if I call myself in him, I got to walk just like he walked. And I got to talk just like he talked. Can I remind you, you can't just say anything, especially when you are witnessing to somebody. Because, praise God, what you say to an unsaved person, regardless of how sincere you might be, they may take it the wrong way. So every time we open our mouths, praise God, to witness to somebody, be ye courteous. Praise God. And that takes me to my final thing. As we look at this text, our witness to the world involves our talk to the world. Hallelujah. You see, our talk should be full of grace. Look what verse 6 says. Said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought, praise God, to answer every man. You see, our conduct and our speech should be marked by grace. Grace here implies kindness. Grace here implies goodwill. Grace here implies tact. Witnessing for Jesus Christ, those who witness for him, praise God, should be kind and they should be courteous. Praise God, oftentimes we find folk, praise God, who have gotten saved. They've been saved for 1 month. They've been saved for 2 months. They've been saved for 1 year. They've been saved for 2 years. And everybody they walk upon, praise God, they're about to condemn them to hell. Don't you do that, praise God. Just share the word of God with them. Just tell them, praise God, that you know a man, praise God, who happens to be from Galilee. And if you don't mind giving your life to him, he will set you free. I'm trying to tell us, praise God, that the witnesses for Jesus Christ should be kind and courteous. You see, our talk should be well seasoned. Meaning, praise God, two things, and I'm going to get out of here. I'm glad I got all of these young folks in here, because see, some of these young folk, you get around some of your young friends and they're talking some of those off-color jokes. folks. They're using some of that off-colored language. But your witness ought to be seasoned with salt. What you ought to do when they are talking all that kind of mess. Praise God, if you walk